Kur'an.
So, this is my pleasure to be here and talk something about Dharma. Even though I don't know much about Dharma, but I think so, if I say something about what I understand, may benefit for many beings like me. So I prefer to talk something about the positive intention. If we do whatever we do, if we do it with a good intention, with a positive intention, then it will give a right or the ultimate result, the good result. So through good intention, if we go on doing that, then normally it awakes our mind. So here today I would like to speak something related with the bodhicitta, which is very important to all the Buddhists. Not only the Buddhists, but to those persons who seek some happiness in my inner mind. Those persons who look inside to their real nature and try to know something about it and get the happiness, the ultimate happiness through doing that. So it may be some sort of useful to talk something about bodhicitta. Now, in bodhicitta, we say there are different types of bodhicitta. In short, we can say that it is summed up within two parts. One bodhicitta is aspiration. Aspiration means, aspiration bodhicitta, it means that we promised or we say that we want to become enlightenment. We think, we visualize in our mind. It's a sort of aspiration bodhicitta. Now, second one is the bodhicitta which is the actual practice. Go through the practice, act practically by helping other living beings is the actual bodhicitta. So within these two, aspiration and the actual bodhicitta, everything is summed up within these two. But now, when we say the good intention of doing this practice, it can be now termed into three parts also. So here, three kinds of bodhicitta are also taught in different teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni. Not only that, it was also seen in many teachings of great masters of the Buddhist scholar. So these three bodhicitta, his first one is the king-like intention, the king-like bodhicitta, one. Second, the boatman-like bodhicitta. Third one is shepherd-like bodhicitta. So within these three, many scholars, they used to describe about the bodhicitta. Now, first one, the king-like intention. It's a positive intention. The king-like bodhicitta. The king normally, he wanted to look after his subject, his people, for the benefit of his people. He worked hard. He wanted to expand his kingdom. He wanted to do something for the welfare of his kingdom. And before doing that, he wanted to expand his kingdom. As soon as he expanded his kingdom, and as soon as he became so powerful, then naturally the noble king, the good king, the kind king can share his welfare, share his wealth to all his subjects and distribute and make sure that his kingdom is his kingdom maintains peace, and all the people who are living under his control are happy and peace. So therefore, this kind of intention, saying that first of all I wanted to become king, after that then I will look after the people or the public. So, this is also a kind of, it is an example of showing the bodhicitta. Now, many Buddhas, most of the practitioners, they promise saying that, I wanted to become Buddha first. And as soon as I became Buddha, then I will come down to look after all living beings, which is really very powerful. This can be done very useful to all living beings. Now, second one is the bodhicitta, just like a boatman, like bodhicitta. Now, boatman means the captain of the boat. He says that his work is take the passengers in his boat and cross the river, and took all the passengers crossing the river and take them to that another shore of the river. That means the boatman and the passenger together, they wanted to cross the river, and they are going to reach that another shore. So this is an example again. Now, some bodhicittas are related with this example, saying that all living beings, they are suffering. So, I don't like to suffer. I don't like all the living beings suffer like this. So, myself and other living beings, we together practice together, pray together, and do good things together. And we wanted to accomplish together. We wanted to get rid of from this suffering samsara and become Buddha altogether. Just like that example. This is also a one part of example. Now, the third one is the shepherd-like bodhicitta. Now, the shepherd, he always looks after his sheep and the cow or any other animal, domestic animals. He wants to look after them. Early in the morning, he just takes them to a place where there are good grass. And they took all the sheep and cows to certain places where there are many green grasses up there so that they can eat nicely. They cannot be disturbed by other animals like wolves or jackals, something like that. He used to protect them. And when the sun is going to set, then he used to bring all the sheep and the cow, and he will come afterwards. When he was going from the house, he was going after, and he used to send all the ships in front of him. When he was coming back, he is the last to come, and all the ships and the cows, they go before him, and as soon as they reach their place, the ships go inside their pen, and the cows go into their cow shed, and he used to give the food to them also, and give the waters, whatever the animals they need, he used to offer them, he used to give them. After finishing everything, then he go to have his food, and then he used to sleep. That means that kind of bodhicitta is the greatest, the most important, the spacious way of thinking. So, shepherd-like bodhicitta. Now, within these three, the last one is the greatest one, the most important one, but no Buddha became Buddha in that way. Because shepherd normally used to think that he wanted to take all the sheep first and make them sure they are comfortable and happy. And after completing that, he wanted to have the food. He wanted to enjoy the food or sleeping, something like that. So that means the bodhisattvas or the practitioners who always used to think that way, saying that I wanted to take all the living beings, make all the living beings become Buddha first, and then I will be the last person to become the Buddha. They promise that way. They take this vow, saying that I will do that way. And till now, most of the Buddhas, they promised when they were the practitioners, when they were bodhisattvas, they always think for all living beings, they always pray, they always used to practice, saying that all living beings must become Buddha first, and then he wanted to become the Buddha. That means it is some sort impossible. Till now, many Buddhas, they become Buddhas, but they think that way, but they become like the king-like bodhicitta. Because they wanted to become first king, powerful, wealthy, and then after that, he looks after his subject. So most of the Buddhas, they became Buddha just like the example of king-like bodhicitta. Even though they used to think the last one, shepherd-like bodhicitta, that is most important, that is the most spacious way of thinking. So their intention from the very beginning is something extremely extraordinary. So because of that, they became Buddha. Even Buddha Shakyamuni also used to think that way. And Buddha Chenrezig also, he always used to promise that I wanted to take all living beings to the Buddha's pure land. And at last he wanted to become Buddha. They always used to think that way. But they became Buddha first, and then they come down. They used to come in a form of a living being or any other animal, in a form of different animal realms. And they used to look after the living beings. So this is one kind of example now. Now, there is some different kind of intentions again, saying that bodhicitta is actually, it means he always used to think only for the benefit of all living beings. He never think for himself. Because when he thinks for all living beings, he himself is also included in that. But he never bother about his suffering or happiness. But he bothers only about the suffering or the happiness of all other living beings. He wanted to look after them. He don't want any other living beings to suffer. So that is why he used to, from the very beginning, his intention is thinking that he don't want to give any sufferings or unhappiness to other living beings, but he always want to do something which will benefit to all other living beings. And he always promised that. He wanted to become Buddha also. And as soon as he became Buddha, then he can look after other living beings. It is more beneficial if he becomes so powerful. But their thinking is not that. They wanted to become first Buddha, and then later they wanted to take all the living beings to the Buddha's pure land. That is not their thinking. That is not their intention. But their intention is always thinking for the benefit of other living beings, but they became Buddha first. And then they look after after other living beings. Now, there is another way of talking now. There is a four boundless bodhicittas now. Again, different types of talking about the bodhicittas. Now, in that bodhicitta, every time, especially the Mahayanas and the Vajrayanas, these two are termed as one, equal. So, normally, whenever we start any kind of prayer, first we do the refuge prayer. After that, we do the bodhicitta prayer. So, in bodhicitta prayer, it is talking about four boundless bodhicittas. Four boundless bodhicittas. Now, in that bodhicitta, four boundless bodhicitta, the first one is loving to all living beings. Give love to all living beings. That is a boundless love to all living beings. Second one is the boundless compassion to all living beings. Third one is rejoicing, the boundless rejoicing. Fourth one is the boundless equanimity. Now, these four are also talking about the bodhicitta. Now, the first one, the boundless love to all other living beings, means the mother loves her son and daughter. The son loves his father or mother. The friend loves other friend. The man loves the ladies. The ladies love the men. And sometimes we love flowers. So these are not the boundless love. Now here, boundless love means, for example, it should be like this. From the very beginning, we have taken birth for many, many, many lives. We were born in the previous life. We have been born in different creatures. And it is said that during those periods, we must have one loving mother also. Whenever we take birth, there must be one mother. And mother takes care of her son or the daughter. They like them very much. From the very beginning when they take birth, from there onwards, they love to their son and daughter dearly. They take care of their son and daughter so much. They used to give the best food. They used to give the best cloth. They used to give them the best teachings. They want to send their daughter or their son in the best school. They want to keep the best things to them. They always used to take care of them. So it is said that if we think that in this present life we have a mother or a father, we love our mother because they are so kind to us. Now, why you are not going to love to other living beings? They are also your mother. They have been your mothers once or say or once or another in the past. They have been your mothers. If they have been your mothers, then you can't say that you are not going to give your love to that other creatures, other beings, even though they are not your present mother. But they have been your mother since many, many lives. So, in this way, I think so, there is not a single creature who has never been your mother and mother. How can I explain now? They have been your mother in your past life. So, if we go on tracing any living beings, any living creatures, the living creatures are countless, countless, we can't count them. But all those living beings have been my mother, once or twice. There are many times they have been my mothers, but they have been one time our mother in our past life. So if we go on thinking that way, the loving mother who used to care you dearly for many times since the birth until to the death, she always used to care to her son or daughter too much. So if we go on thinking that way, then normally there is no any living being who is your enemy or who is not loving you, who is not caring you. Because they have been cared you for many, many lives. Because they have been your mother. So if all living beings have been your mother, like your present mother, then who is your enemy? If any kind of animal is disturbing to you, it's not disturbing you, but she is giving some lessons to you. She has been a mother in the past life. If you want to say something bad to her, then that means you are saying something bad to your mother. If you want to kill a fish, that means you are killing your mother. If you want to eat the fish, you are eating the flesh of your mother. So, if you go on thinking that way, there is no any living beings to whom you have to give some hatred or something like that. There is nothing to give, nothing to hatred, nothing to be angry with to those living beings because they have been your mothers since many, many eons, many, many lives. Beginningless times we have been taken birth in this samsara. So if we treat all living beings as your mother now, then normally the mother, if you think your present mother, you don't want to say, suffer your mother. You like your mother. You wanted to make your mother happy. You wanted to help your mother. Normally we think in this present life that way, but you have to think to all other living things, especially who are suffering, especially to those who are deeply in trouble. If you go on thinking that they are your mother, then normally, I think so, it can generate some sort of happiness in your mind, and it can generate some love, showing your love towards your mother. With that feelings, if you think that all living beings are your mother and they don't want suffering, they want happiness and the source of happiness. So here, I think so, now the intention of bodhicitta, how you have to show to all other living beings is like this, I think so. If other living, if you think that all living beings are your mother, they have been once in the past like your mother, and they are so dear and loved. They showed their love to us. They cared a lot to us. They are so kind. So now it is up to us. We must generate the intention of the bodhicitta. Now you must think that. You must repay those kindness. You must repay those love which your mother had given you in many, many lives. Now you must pay, repay. Now how you have to repay it? It is through the practice of giving love to other living beings. Through showing love to all other living beings, saying that they are all your mothers. And generally speaking, I think so, the people in the society, if a son used to kill a mother, then that is treated as one of the greatest crimes. Something like that. Most of the son, no son is willing to kill the mother. If they kill, the society hates him. If they beat the mother, the society hates him. So in this way, I think so, if we generate some good intention, the positive intention in our mind, and give our love to all other living beings, saying that they are your mother, they have been my mother in the past time, so you must pray or practice or give love to those living beings and make them sure, become happy, and give the source of happiness also. That is one of the boundless love. That is also one of the bodhicitta. Now I think so. It's not so clear, but it's better to give one example. We normally say that a mother who has one son, a mother who has one son or a daughter, has their love or kindness or caring nature is extremely very strong because they have only one son or daughter. If a mother has 2-3 sons and daughters, then mother's love and mother's care, mother's kind used to share to these 3-4 sons and daughters. It's shared already between these children. But if a mother who has only one son or one daughter, only one, then her love and care is extremely very strong. So So there is an example, a mother who has one son and the mother has no hand. Both hands were cut already. And mother has only one son. Now she loves her son too much. But at that time, if the son is fallen down into the river, when mother was there and she saw that her son was fallen down